These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You guys need to just cheer the F up. What the hell, guys? You work in sports.
Take NATO. Marshall Hook joins us here in our update studios because Big Jim Murray has slid over to the Maz chair. Maz is off. Felger here in the A-hole chair. Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports. I'm simulcast, as always, on the NBC Sports Network across New England and the country. Catch us anytime, anywhere on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Everything on the board. We even did some Celtics again today. Why did the Kyrie Irving to the New York Knicks? Rumors keep coming up. Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler wanting to team up on a team in New York. That stuff keeps coming up. Why? Why? And what is it about Kyrie Irving? Well, what does he want? What is this guy after? And you start to wonder about him. So that's on the board as well. Let's bring it back with the Red Sox, though. A Red Sox thought with Alan in Florida. Hi, Alan.
Hi. I just informed that the genius Marshall that games were meaningless this afternoon. Oakland's playing Seattle, going for the wild card, and the Cubs are going for Milwaukee, fighting for first place. Very meaningless games, I know, because he didn't know the score, so he said they were meaningless. Anyway,
let's check in on that White Sox Tigers game.
Oh, did I mention that game? Oh, God. You know what? How were you on television? I have no idea.
Twins beat the Pirates 6-4.
Yeah, do this on your own time. Go.
Because we're going gender-free today, Alan.
Yeah.
But, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mentioned two games. So anyway, you know, it's very simple. Like a simpleton, like, say, him, Price is going to pitch the second game. They're going to lose. You mentioned some of the things, the problems the Astros have. Zach Britton was such a problem that he's actually cost the Yankees games. He's cost the Yankees like two games. So I absolutely, positively disagree, and I think they're going to come up with one more pitcher. And, you know, they can't block everybody because you're going to have to take these players. So somebody will get through. They'll find a way. And you know something? They're in so much better shape than these other teams that it isn't even – I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, here's Alan. I mean, here's what I think. They're just playing so much better than these other teams. Now, like, are they better on paper than these other teams in certain areas, the bullpen or pitching? Are they, you know, like, I think we can sort of parse those things. But who's playing better than the Red Sox?
Nobody.
I mean, that you know, whether you're watching these, you can't possibly be playing better than the Red Sox. So, like, that accounts for something. Houston had a really flawed bullpen last year, really flawed, to the point where they were throwing starters back there, and they kept losing games in the postseason. The bullpen blew three games in the postseason. That's a lot. It's won a series, and they still won the championship because they were just playing so damn well. So that's what I think the deal is with the Red Sox. I think the bullpen's the bullpen, but are they just playing so well that at the end of the day, it's not going to matter?
I mean, right now it feels that way.
And I still don't think, I mean, Alan, I'd be stunned if they get anybody.
Yeah, if they're going to fix anything, I think it's going to be internal. And by that, I mean, they're just going to put in a starter in there. I would like it to be David Price, like Marshall, but I just don't see that happening as of right now. So maybe it's Eovaldi. You know, he got his face ripped off in his last outing. Let's see how he does tonight. If he, you know, if it goes the other way for him and Eduardo Rodriguez.
I'm sorry, did you say it was Eovaldi tonight?
Yeah. So if it's another bad outing for him, maybe they transition him there, even though he's never done it before. Because Eduardo Rodriguez is supposedly going to be back here in the next couple of weeks.
Someone has to go there. Someone has to go. Marshall, if you see Eovaldi or Eddie Rodriguez, and I don't think it's going to be Price, but if it's, you know, a starter go back there and really start to do something, do you change your mind?
About David Price or
about the bullpen?
Oh, yeah. No. If they find some way to improve the bullpen, even by one person.
Eovaldi.
By one person.
Let's say Eovaldi or Eddie Rodriguez.
Then, yeah. Then that is a absolute changer. And by the way, as long as the Yankees, Astros, and everyone else is crap in the bed, that may change my mind as well. Because if they truly go into this one on the slide, maybe the Red Sox are good enough as they are, even if they don't make any change. But sure, if they do something to the bullpen, whether it's an internal move, then, yeah, I'm going to feel differently. They're still going to lose game two of every series, but beyond that. And Alan in Florida with this big rebuttal. You say David Price no good. Well, and then he just moved on to some other topic. He didn't actually rebut that in any way, shape, or form.
I think Alan just likes to pick on who's ever sitting in that chair.
That is true.
He picks on the little guy. Chris in Plainville has been waiting patiently with the Patriots thought. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Quick sells to the Patriots. Kyrie goes nowhere if he's healthy. Rumors of a New York super team. Shocking. geez, the biggest media market in the world hasn't had a relevant NBA team to cover in 25 years. I think it's media-driven, not to mention nothing's going to happen down there as long as they still have the ownership down there that they do have. The Patriots, Rob Ninkovich, I thought he did a great job on the sidelines. I know it's probably not top on the Patriots topics, but I thought he did very good. I'd like to hear more of him. His technical content was great, and he seemed very comfortable in this position and very knowledgeable. And for geeks like me, football talk is a lot of fun to listen to.
Okay. So. Yeah, I'm with you. He's very, very comfortable on the air. And when he and Zoe just talk football, I'm all into it. I agree. Informative, and I get the most out of it and all of it. When they start talking about the Tom Brady hug and the Aerosmith concerts or whatever, Metallica, like, I don't... You know me. I don't need pleasantries or grab ass. I have no use for it. Zero.
My favorite thing about that broadcast last week is you have Zolak and Soucy on these preseason games. And Ninko, I thought, did a good job in his first time doing it, too. Did you happen to see when Zoe was having fun with the telestrator and it was Perillo on? And when they go to Perillo.
How did I miss this?
Oh, and he drew like a... He drew around Paul, because you know how Maz always makes the fat jokes for Paul Perillo. I'll pull up the photo. It's amazing. Like, he put like a giant, almost like snowman around Paul to make him look bigger than he actually is. Poor Paul.
Just back to the Kyrie thing. The Kyrie New York thing was in this story on Business Insider. Most of the early Kyrie stories were just about him and Jimmy Butler. The first report was he and Jimmy Butler to Chicago. Or somewhere, like that, not necessarily to New York, but just joining up. I feel the real germinations there are Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, not New York media. I think it's those two and their agents or their business representatives or someone continuously, repeatedly floating it out there that those two are going to get together on a team. And so, no, I'm sorry. I do not think that it is a New York media-driven thing. I do not think that. And if Kyrie Irving is totally healthy, I think the chances are better that he leaves than he stays. In other words, if he's damaged goods, he's going to have a hard time. You know, I think this might be his best spot for him. But if he's totally healthy, I think he's more of a flight risk.
And I think, look, for me, too, it's tough to wrap your head around why Kyrie Irving would want to leave here after next season because of all the young talent here, because this team looks like it could be, you know, the best team in the NBA here, or one of the best teams in the NBA for the next 5 to possibly 10 years with Tatum, Brown, Stevens, the youth here. It just doesn't make any sense. But I don't know. Kyrie Irving's a weird dude. Like, maybe he just wants it to be just solely about him and not the Celtics aura.
But that doesn't make him weird. I mean, well, he's weird, but I think there's an NBA thing there where it's, you know, it's my team and I'm the man. And I think that he ran into that in Cleveland. And maybe he doesn't feel it here totally. And he wants to be a movie star, obviously. Is this the best place to do that? And all those things. And so it's like, really? That's what we're in this for. Because you want to be the man and you want to make movies. I mean, never mind where you win, Cleveland, where the best spot is, here, where you're surrounded by the best basketball culture and everything, here. It's no. You either want to make movies, be the star, be the man, or, you know, save your hometown team, which even that one I'll give him a little bit of a break on. But, you know, what are his...
No, it seems like it's about flash.
What are his priorities?
Yeah, I would think it would be about more rings, more titles, but it's about all the other stuff.
What, Hook? Why are you giving me that face?
You're doing this again. The guy's already signed and apparently playing with the Knicks as far as you guys are concerned.
I'm just wondering.
There's an entire gulf of an NBA season ahead in which he is a member, at least as of right now, of the Celtics, and never... You find me any quote anywhere where he says he wants to go play with the Knicks.
He's not going to say it.
No, of course not.
Find me one quote where LeBron said he wanted to go play with the Lakers. Yet he went, and it was all signed, sealed, and delivered. It's all done behind the scenes, and this is what I'm telling you. Either Jimmy Butler's people and or Kyrie Irving's people continue to float this. And why? And so, yes, I hold Kyrie responsible for it, you bet. We also ripped on Jaylen Brown yesterday for already having the Celtics in the NBA Finals and beating Cleveland last year in Game 7 of the East Finals. I don't know if you remember that. You actually won that game. Here's Paul in Somerville. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, Felder. So you would agree, as you said on record, that the Celtics choked in Game 7, right?
That's right.
That was a choke.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And a choke job, by definition, is when one team, which should have won and could have won, did not win because of their own ineptitude. Is that correct?
Yes, fine.
So what is Jaylen Brown doing besides saying that they choked? All he's saying is that they should have won. So you can't have it both ways. Either the Celtics choked or LeBron had an all-time game. Which is it?
I don't think LeBron had an all-time game. I think you choked. And I think that should be Jaylen Brown's commentary, that we didn't get it done. we were in a position to establish what we are. You know, the question was all about, you know, who the Celtics are, and we're going to the finals now for sure. And that game was a chance to establish who you are, and you failed. Yet Jaylen Brown is acting like we had him right where we wanted him, and he had to work to get up out of here. And it's almost like you won the game, and we're definitely going this year. How about dialing it back and saying we had a position to establish who we are and answer your question, and we failed. We have to get back and figure out how to win that game now.
Like, oh, I didn't mind the confidence about talking about going to the finals for sure next year, because they should, so I understand that. But no, talking about LeBron like that, like they kind of, you know, LeBron just squeaking by like that, that was kind of a bad look.
Oh, my God. No, no, no.
It wasn't an all-time game by LeBron. An all-time game by LeBron was Game 6 Eastern
right.
Conference Finals in 2012.
Right.
No, that was a gag by the Celtics in Game 7
No, but
year.
So, caller, I mean, your point about Celtics choked, so he has a right to feel they let it get away from them, or they, you know, they should have beat Cleveland. That's right. That's consistent. But you don't get to turn a loss into a win. No, no. You failed in that spot, so you have to get better. And that starts on day one. Jaylen Brown has him all the way in the NBA Finals. So that was the thing with that comment yesterday. Sorry, Hook. It's also a little bit negative. Here's Teddy in Chicopee. Hi, Teddy on the Sox.
Hey, yeah, I'm calling up about the Red Sox bullpen. I think what they do when they get into the playoffs, like one of the callers already said, they're going to be taking one or two of their starters and throwing them in the bullpen. They're going to play it game by game. They're so lucky, I think it'll work for them.
Okay, it might. The way things are going and the way Alex Cora is going, it just might. Because right, everything he's doing is working. Pinch hits Brock Holt last night, first pitch, home run, game over. You know, they win the game.
And Porcello's been pretty decent at the plate, too. Like, he wouldn't have been wrong in keeping him in that game, how he was pitching and how he's gone at the plate. And instead, no, I'm going with my gut here. I'm putting in Brock Holt, first pitch, home run. Like, he can do no wrong.
No, this is what, I think this was their plan. I do. I think it's, Alex Cord sat right next to A.J. Hinch, who pulled all those moves last year with those starters going back to the bullpen. They won a championship doing it that way, and they expect Alex Cord to do the exact same thing. And that's what's happening. The only question is it Eovaldi? Is it Eddie Rodriguez? Do they get David Price back there? That's the only question. Someone's got to go, and Alex has got to figure it all out. We continue with your calls here with Marshall Hook in our update studio, Big Jim Murray alongside, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This team needs a great quarterback.
Another thing we hit on today, just that comment, because I think a response from a lot of people is, well, everyone needs a great quarterback, and that is not the case. Did the Eagles need a great quarterback last year? No, they won with a backup. Did Denver need a great quarterback when they won with Peyton Manning there? I mean, he was a good game manager. He was the right call over Brock Osweiler, but was he great at that stage of his career? Hell no. So not every team needs a great... This one does. You're not going to win on defense, I don't think. And, well, let's put it to you like this. I mean, Nick Foles played great. He's also surrounded by great, you know, a lot of talent on that Philly team.
Oh, that offensive line. I mean, Gasper said it before that the offensive line should have got the Super Bowl MVP in that game. Great line, you know, decent running backs, good weapons, good defense. You know, look, and he played out of his mind for a couple of weeks, made a deal with the devil like Flacco did a few years
back. But he was surrounded by a really good team.
Yeah.
He was surrounded by a really good team, both sides of the ball, a complete talented team. So the Philadelphia Eagles last year did not need a great quarterback. They needed someone who could come in and play well, but they didn't need a great... So not every team needs a great quarterback. You almost lost to the Jaguars. The Jaguars almost went to the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles because their defense was playing so well and they were on a roll, and so they didn't need a great quarterback. You do. You for sure do. And it's to the point where I don't even think the great quarterback's enough. The years where they left Tom Brady so high and dry offensively that his greatness couldn't overcome it. They didn't go to the Super Bowl. They came up short. 06, 13, those are the years. And Brady was brilliant in both of those years. Really, 06 more than 2013. I don't think the team loved the way Brady played in 13. That's when they drafted Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of the years where Bill looked at and said, now's the time. But either way, it's not like they helped him out, you know, with the people he was thrown to that year. And you came up just short both of those years. And that's what this receiving group looks like this season. It's how exactly how it looks.
Again, it's when you look at the depth chart, it really is like, okay, Chris Hogan, but he's a
third
wide
or fourth
receiver
guy
at best. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson, he was a special teamer.
Oh, have you heard that Brady's not thrown a pass to Cordarrelle Patterson since the second day of practice?
Yeah. I saw some of the beat guys tweeting about this earlier today. That makes me feel good.
Hasn't thrown a pass to Cordarrelle Patterson since the second day of camp. And I think that means either in drills or he's not one of the guys he works with after practice. He would work with Dorsett.
He's been working with Jacob Hollister, the tight end.
Right, he's been doing some work with some guys, but he hasn't worked with Patterson after practice, and he hasn't thrown him a pass in whatever that is, a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, because he probably looks at him and says, this is a special teams guy. He only runs right up the field. That's it. Can't even run a route.
But keep going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the rest of the... I mean, okay, Kenny Britt, Eric Decker.
Hasn't gotten on the field.
Eric Decker has been a mental case since he got here and can't catch a ball.
Total basket case, it sounds like.
Devin Lucien, yeah, he's going to be a star. You know, guy's been a practice squad player who's dealt with injury. Let's see, Edelman not playing the first month. Philip Dorsett sucks. Riley McCarron, who knows? You know, he was a practice squad player who was called the next Wes Welker, according to Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans. And of course, Paul Turner, who works in IT. Have you looked at the binary file?
Paul Turner.
We don't have enough bandwidth to run that. Sorry.
Here's Eric in the car. Back to the phones. Eric has a Red Sox thought for us. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, like, what's going to trip up the season for the Red Sox this year? Like, what are the risks that they, like, fall apart?
It's the pitching. It's a pitching pass, Chris Sale. You know, again, I like Porcello. I'm going to predict him to do good things in the playoffs this year. But if he doesn't, it won't surprise me. He's never won a postseason start. It's another one of these guys who's been really bad in the postseason. So after Chris Sale, you have Porcello, who's never pitched well in the postseason, and David Price, who's maybe the worst postseason pitcher in baseball history, or one of them. Like, he's up there, right?
Yeah, and I don't want to get too much on Chris Sale because it was only one postseason performance, but that one last year was not good.
Okay, I'm going to put him in the win column, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that if you can line it up, that he pitches game one and game five and you win those games. Like, I just have to assume. I can't assume that everyone's going to crap their pants. And by the same token, I think the offensive guys are going to come through. But it's the pitching, and it's obviously the bullpen. That's what it is. Now, they may hit so well and be playing so well across the board that it may not matter, like Houston last year. Here's Mike and Woburn on our Kyrie Irving conversation. Yes, Michael?
Mike, first, just out of courtesy to your neighbors, have you warned them about the Take NATO? Are the people in Dorchester prepared? Have they taped the windows down?
I don't think they have.
The Category 5 takes blowing out of the studio. Listen, I've been stuck in traffic, and so something popped across my Twitter page, and I just wanted to address it. Did you know Joe West has umpired 5,164 games?
No, I did not know he'd been
5,164 games of just a guy standing in one spot, not moving. Can we just bring on the computer? Did you know? Like, bring on the Quest Tech Strike Zone, and please, like, that's over $2 million in just food money. And believe me, Joe's eating every penny of it. Okay, like, they are the, like, I can't wait until. Like, I see those, like, robot dogs from MIT. Can they just make an umpire? Please.
I don't know.
For the love of God.
All right, your comment line said Kyrie to New York.
Yes. Ainge is pretty good about figuring out which guys he needs to get rid of and actually not, like, losing them for nothing. So I'm not as worried. I mean, you compared it to LeBron, right? Like, LeBron going to L.A.? Like, LeBron going to L.A. was an NBA...
No. My point was that Hook says, I haven't heard one thing from Kyrie about leaving. And I said, well, why would you? You didn't hear one thing from LeBron about leaving, and he left. That doesn't mean anything. I wasn't comparing anything beyond that.
But we all knew where LeBron was going. If you followed the breadcrumb trail, you knew where LeBron was going to end up. You knew he was going back to Cleveland before he went back to Cleveland, and you knew he was going to L.A. With Kyrie, we don't really know. And I personally trust Ainge to know his players and know if a guy has designs on leaving town, him not letting him leave for nothing. And if he does, then absolutely you can point fingers at Danny. But historically?
Yeah, no. Hey, Mike, I'm not saying that Danny's going to be left there with the Schmenzer in his hands. No. I think Danny will diagnose it and will trade him. I haven't mentioned Danny once in this. I'm mentioning Kyrie and what his priorities are and what he wants.
I don't know.
I have full confidence that Ainge won't lose that asset for nothing, that he'll get out ahead of it. And we've been saying, and Jimmy Stewart has been saying, he's not convinced Kyrie's on the team this year, that it may happen this month. They traded for Kyrie in late August last year.
But if you know
what he could easily be traded in late August this year.
If you know what they all know, and the league knows, the destination is ultimately the New York Knicks, what's the return going to be? It's probably not going to be that much. And I think they're better served to have him play out this season with this team as presently constituted, because they have a legitimate chance to get to the finals and win the damn thing. Well, as long as everybody stays healthy.
I mean, Toronto gave
healthy.
Up real assets to get Kawhi Leonard, who
exactly.
Everyone is pretty sure. I mean, he, I think, has actually said he wants to go to the Lakers. So,
I mean, let's see. If a team for some reason offers you a first-round pick and something that's I don't know. It's a fair point, Murray. You know, what are you going to get for Kyrie if he's a flight risk? Fair enough. But to Hook's point, The Spurs just got DeRozan, a legit elite NBA guard, right? So
he was mentally weak.
No, I mean, I think Danny Ainge will manage it properly. That's never been my beef. My beef is with Kyrie. And what do you want, dude? And so that's that. I was going to say one more thing, and I forgot what it was.
About the umps. He was talking about Joe West.
No. More
on
Kyrie.
He is hateable.
Oh. Hook, you just read to me something off the air about ESPN and ESPN.
Oh, yes. ESPN has got this little article. Summer forecast, where will KD, Kawhi, Kyrie play in 2019-2020 season?
And this is a panel of ESPN.
They asked the ESPN forecast panel. I don't know what the hell that is, but that's to predict where the top five free agents will land. Where will Kyrie Irving? That's the first one they do. 46.9% of that panel says the New York Knicks. Mm. 43.8 say the Boston Celtics.
So according to that expert panel, the Knicks are slight favorites over you.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler also going to the New York Knicks, though this panel acknowledges that it would be very difficult for the Knicks to get both those guys. So there are some inherent flaws with this expert panel.
Oh, and just don't tell me there aren't breadcrumbs. I mean, he's from there. He wants to be a movie star.
Oh, and I've never said that there aren't. There's a big difference
and again,
between...
And again, their agents or their business people keep dropping this.
And you guys already assessing the fact that he's gone and what it means about his moral fiber and character.
I question his moral fiber and character. I do.
The Knicks have $46 million in cap space. Yeah, they can do it.
They can definitely figure it out.
I'm just telling you what it's
NBA said. Cap space, Hook... can be maneuvered in a number of different ways.
Dave in Texas on David Price. Hi, Dave.
Hey, it's actually Steve. He needs to listen better. But I called 100%. About this David Price thing. But while you just mentioned Kyrie. If they trade him now before he blows out his knee, the return's a hell of a lot better than after he blows his knee out. But anyway, that's aside the point. You got this. When it comes to David Price, you guys are nuts. N-U-T-Z, nuts. It's counterintuitive for you to say, we don't trust him as a starter, but in the bullpen, he'd be great. He can either pitch or he can't. And if you're saying that the placement in the bullpen is somehow helping the team, then him as a starter will also help the team. And the reason I say this, I see this guy, last year he was hurt, he worked to get back. By the time the playoffs came back, he did whatever he could to help the team. You look at it this year, he's figuring out some things with his mechanics. His fastball is, 3 miles an hour, 4 miles an hour worse than it used to be. He's working on some different things. He's performed well in every instance, except he's had a couple of bad outs, more than a couple. He's had some bad outings against the Yankees. Every other game, he's supposed to win, he's won.
Dave, did you say he's had a couple of bad? Have you looked at his postseason starting track record? He's 0-7.
Well, this is what he's saying. It's counterintuitive to say what we say, except that I'm sitting here looking at a box of numbers entitled postseason pitching. Game start, loss. Game start, loss. Bullpen, win. Bullpen, win. Game start, loss. Game start, loss. Game start, loss. Game start, loss. Game start, loss.
Career in the postseason, he is...
2-8.
Okay, again, but it's 0-7 as a starter.
Yes, I was going to say the two wins came... in relief.
It's either 0-7 or 0-8 as a starter. It's one of the two. I can't see it here. But he's 0-7 or 0-8 as a starter. And his guess what his postseason ERA is, Murray? And also as a bullpen guy, which he's been good at.
I'm going to say 6.46.
5.03.
Still not good.
Oh, my God, not good.
Wretched.
It's freaking wretched.
I just think, look, with that guy's mental makeup, he's better served coming out of the bullpen in like a 4-1 game where he comes into the seventh inning and has to shut down the opposition, because especially if they're down in a series already a game, because the pressure's not on him. If he has to start, you know, down 0-1 in a series in that first round, it's,
All this pressure's on me, huff and puff. I'm going to be picking and picking. Oh, my God. If I lose again, all they're going to be talking about is how I've never won a start in the postseason. Now we're down 0-2.
If they're down 0-1, he's coming into the game in the seventh inning. They're leading 4-1. I think it's water off a duck's back. Okay. He's not thinking about that kind of
thing. But I mean, you're going to need him for 2-1 games now, too, Murray. It's not just you don't give him the soft landing. He's going to need to pitch in that situation. And even then, Hook, I like that situation a little better than the starting thing because I think he thinks a little bit less. You know, that start.
He used to think for days.
Like, the start is on the calendar for days and weeks. He knows it's coming. It's like, oh, my God, you have days and weeks to build up that panic. The bullpen thing is like sort of like get up, get out.
Yeah.
And I think he's a little better served there. All that being said, I don't think he's going out.
No.
I think he's your number two starter, for better or worse, Hook.
1-2, deep breath. Second deep breath.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, wrapping up with Big Jim Murray and Marshall Hook here, Felger in the a-hole chair. Danny in Blackstone has a thought on the Patriots. Hi, Danny.
Well, first, quick thought. That last call is an idiot if he thinks that if you can pitch, you can pitch. You don't think if Mariano Rivera could do what he did, seven innings at a stretch, he wouldn't have been a starting pitcher? Obviously, it makes a difference when you're only going in for a few innings and you can totally just let it rip. But my two quick Patriots points. You couldn't just swap Dwayne Allen for Dez Bryant, and if that $5 million that Dwayne Allen is making isn't enough, is enough to sign him. I know he's injured now, but once he's fine, can you cut him? And is that money enough to get Dez? But my main point, I know you guys yesterday, you were talking about Brady saying that this team needs a great quarterback because Kyrie's going to New York next year and everything else, but is it possible that when he said need, he meant deserves, and he was actually kind of trying to, show some light. And
let me just stop you there. Is it possible Brady really meant is that we have a great team and a great coach and a great situation, and so I need to be great to fall in line with everybody else? It's entirely possible that's what he meant.
Yeah, maybe. But he strikes me as more calculated than that. It's more fun to talk about it this way.
Yeah, I mean, that may be what he meant, but we're going to look at it a different way, which is, everything else around him is so putrid, he has to play great. Otherwise, there's no shot. He has to lift these bums up, or else they're toast. What was the first thing he said? Oh, the money for Dez Bryant should not be an issue. Should not be an issue on either side. In other words, if Dez Bryant is just looking to go someplace for the most money, well, you idiot. Well, you go somewhere horrible, like Cleveland, for the most money, but your career's over then. What you should be looking to do is to go somewhere for 1 year, rehab your entire image and marketability.
Try to win a ring.
And then go get your money. So if Cleveland's offering 7 and the Patriots are offering 2, you might better off be taking the 2. So it shouldn't be a thing for Dez Bryant, and shouldn't be a thing for you, because it should be a 1 year make good anything or anyway, where it should be close to minimum salary and then incentives. Why are you guys looking at each other? Something going on?
I wanted to get that Brady clip, the quarterback clip.
Oh, okay.
This team needs a great quarterback?
Because this team's wide receiving core is a lineup of third stringers, special teamers, and nobody.
And guys named Paul Turner,
yeah,
who should be in the IT. But whenever you guys talk to each other, I always think there's breaking news they're coming.
So this team needs a great quarterback?
So,
because Kyrie's been traded to the Knicks.
We got David Quincy on the Sox. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Heard a stat last night watching the game, Sox game, and first I've got to preface this by saying I agree 100% with what you guys say about this bullpen. It is the wheel of gutless bums, but that being said, I kind of wonder if it's like if this team is sort of like a bend but don't break, and I know that term gets overused, but if it's a bend don't break type of bullpen, listening to what Maz was saying where he was comparing the walks per nine and how it's way higher than it it should be, especially when compared to other Red Sox World Series winners. But I'm wondering if this is a bend but don't break. And
yes.
I specifically wanted to hear kind of like Murray's and yours as well, Maz, but especially, I mean.
Okay, so I'm Mike, but either way, the thing is, I think yes. Like, you're not going to win on the strength of your bullpen. Like, the Patriots don't win on the strength of their defense. They keep everything in front of them and just do enough to let Tom Brady win in the game. I mean, that's how they've played defense the last several years. Why can't the Red Sox just have a bullpen that's like that? We get here on our starters, we put up a big number thanks to our offense, and the bullpen just does just enough.
Yeah, with this offense, they can basically hit themselves out of any problem, especially with J.D. Martinez and the way he's having this season that he's having. Like, you know, look, they've proven me wrong. Look, the bullpen is going to continue to be an issue for them, and it might end up being the thing that trips them up. But
is it possible that they're just playing so well that they overcome it and it doesn't matter?
Yeah, it's felt that way for...
Or the bullpen's just good enough. Like, the Patriots' defense, a lot of these years, has been just good enough. Why can't that be the case for the Red Sox bullpen, Marshall?
It can be. And if I'm wrong, I'll be more than happy to sit here and admit to you I was wrong. In fact, we had earlier in the show, the discussion about Mookie Betts versus J.D. Martinez. And I happily admitted to you that, A, I wanted them to trade Mookie Betts for Cole Hamels. And, B, I never wanted them to sign J.D. Martinez because I said he was going to hit 20 home runs and 280. So I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. I will remind people who've forgotten the stupid things I've said in the past. It's just, I'm not there yet.
We've got Jake and Andover on the Patriots roster. Go ahead, Jake.
So, I feel like you guys are talking about the roster. I know I called yesterday about quarterbacks, but the roster for wide receivers, I really don't think that, again, I know what we have right now is not an A-plus receivers, but think about most of the rosters in the league. You have a number one guy, and then you have obviously like a stud, and then you have like a decent, you know, guy behind him. I really think we just got to treat this like we treated, you know, Brady's four-game suspension. Wait till Edelman comes back. But the one guy that I think that could, like two guys I was thinking of that could be like chess pieces that we could pick up in the free agency market. One, I don't know why no one's really had anything talk about me, Brandon LaFell. I mean, he played with the offense. He knows the playbook. Snagging him just to, you know, be a cover piece until Edelman comes back.
Yeah.
Well, the other guy, Macklin, I mean, I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're going to be the world beater, but you snag one of those guys, cover for a few games, and maybe hope that...
Sure. Jake, let me cut you off. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that.
Yeah.
That means they're desperate. It means they have nothing.
Right. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
The fact that Eric Decker is here is not a good story. That means you were so desperate at the position that you have a place for him. So I fully expect them to do stuff like that. And by the way, Eric Decker might not make it through the week. If you just read and if it's true, the way that he looks on the practice field is true, they won't be able to keep him.
He's talking like his confidence is shattered. He can't catch anything. Like, you know, I thought it would be a good fit, and he'd obviously work with Josh McDaniels when they were both in Denver, but it hasn't worked thus far.
So LaFell was, you know, a different guy off the field, apparently, and it wasn't a great match off the field. But he produced in that 1 year. Didn't he have something like 70 grabs? I think he had a decent amount of catches.
Look it up, Murray.
That 1 year. But it was, this is going on 3 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that he gave you that production in 2015, 74 catches. I'm sorry. What was I smoking? It was 74 catches the year before.
Okay.
And then he had a second year. I forgot about his second year. In 2015, he went down to only 37 grabs, but he had 74 catches for you in 2014. That's 4 years ago now. And he's also been Bengaled. So he's also got that Bengals thing on him, which...
In terms of other teams throughout the league, from what the caller said, like comparatively speaking, I know like the Redskins wide receiver depth is terrible, but I don't know, like the Pats are down by the, you know, 30, 32-ish in terms of, you know, who they have at wide receiver.
Yeah, Paul in the truck on Alex Cora. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Felga, I know it's hard to criticize Cora for anything that he's done this year, but some of his timing on planned days off, I mean, tonight, resting Mookie Betts against the Phillies, why, if he wants to give the guy 2 days off, why couldn't he do that on Friday night's game against Tampa instead of a Phillies team that has played them tight for you know, all the games they've played?
So, fair enough. I mean, I don't know.
I have no problem with this. He wants Martinez in the outfield. National League rules, no DH. So, bang Mookie for tonight and put him back in when terrible Tampa comes in for the millionth time this weekend.
So, I'm not going to does it really matter?
No. No, and that's the other. Like, what does a win against Philadelphia, what does a win period mean at this point for this team?
10 games clear in the division? 11?
Yeah, 10.
Something like that?
Because the Yankees won last night.
So those sort of things.
Division's over.
The non-factors this year, I would tend to agree.
It's the people who are worried about 115 that are upset.
117 should be your goal, Hook.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the people who are worried about 121 are upset.
117, Hook.
Sitting down.
Quickly. We are aware that there has been a shark attack on the Cape today. Someone got bit by a shark off a Turo.
61-year-old man.
Any update on his status? Are you sure it was a 61-year-old man?
Yes. 61-year-old man was bit in the hip area. So he's got leg and torso injuries, a blood loss situation, med flighted from the scene.
Victim was said to be responsive when transported, yes, being flown to a Boston hospital.
Did they say how deep the water was?
Where
was
not how far out he was or what type of shark, no.
Okay, so we're aware of it. We've hit on shark attacks in the past. I've got a thing about the seals down there on the Cape. So that happened this afternoon. We didn't really hit on it because I want the stories to come out. We'll read them overnight. I'm a dinosaur. I like to read it in the newspaper and then react like at a... You and your Twitter feeds, like, I don't know. So I'm going to read it in the paper overnight.
God forbid we get up-to-date information quickly.
And we'll talk about it tomorrow, the shark situation down there. But the final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires? There's only one place to go. Nobody. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Only one item on the agenda today.
Huh.
It would be one Michael Felger, who has a deep and abiding love for social media platforms and the many and varied ways in which Gordon Hayward uses them.
Oh, so annoying. You may now roll the video.
I would, except my friend back there normally hits play on these things. So
I don't know if Jimmy was actually prepared for such a thing.
Maybe he wasn't. I have never in my time hit play on these things. So apparently,
play it, Jimmy.
Yeah, you can take your doot to doot and stick it.
Jimmy was.
This is going to be my fault. I know it is. It's going to be my fault. I'm the one who
singing is actually kind of more interesting.
Yeah, was supposed to have hit play on this, I'm sure.
From Gordon Hayward and his wife, they want to be right out front and center. Let me ask you this. How many videos have we seen of Gordon Hayward shooting baskets in the last 9 months or whatever it is, 10 months?
78.
Yeah, shooting baskets, you see him dunk, Mike?
4,000 every day. There's like three new videos dropping of Gordon Hayward shooting on a chair, shooting from the top of the key, shooting from the floor, dunking on somebody, dribbling, doing sprints, doing this, doing that, having a gender reveal in which he says daddy's always happy. And now it's like every day there's 14 things about Gordon Hayward. Do you know why? Because Gordon Hayward wants to be the man. I've told you, you've got to watch this guy. This is a guy you got to worry about in terms of egos and sharing the ball and sharing the spotlight. This is the guy. He wants it, man. Gordon Hayward. Could you leave me alone for one day without another stupid video of you shooting in a gym or something every day with this guy? My God, what a glory hog. It's unbelievable.
Get off the internet.
Just a day. Let it rest for a day, dude. Just a day. Let it go one day without some video of you shooting a basketball.
I like Gordon Hayward.
Every day, Murray. Every stinking day. How many stories? How many columns? How many video? It's been a nonstop assault with Gordon Hayward and his injury. It's true. It's been a deluge.
He
can't stand to be out of the spotlight for a day.
I like that he's doing the gender reveal, though. Maybe he could do that on a gender-free Friday.
He does that on a Friday because it's gender-free. That's right.
Truly a groundbreaking radio program you guys have.
No, but it's so true. Like, he can't let a day go by without him in the... He needs a headline every day, guy.
Letting the fans know my ankle is recovered. I'm recovered. I'm coming back. No need to worry.
Oh, my God, please. Every day. Unlike the rest of us, we're just happy to be behind the scenes and not be out front and, you know, just...
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.